listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, 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 live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, August 24th. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. As always, I'm glad to be here.
Glad to have you. Glad to have those joining us in the live chat. Always such a pleasure to see you each and every week. And thanks to those that take the time out of their week to catch up with us in the archives. We appreciate you as well. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. And as always, we'll begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. And those are 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. Now, tonight, I'm excited for our topic. You know, it's kind of fitting. We've had a bit of a run. We had Dr. Mike on a couple weeks ago, and it was a fantastic discussion talking about the 75th anniversary of the Roswell incident, talking about alien UFO sightings, what could alien life be like. Last week, we talked about the ancients. This week, we're talking about the ancients and alien life. I love it. So, Dr. Vicki, I think I'm just going to throw it all on you. What do you think about this?
Sure. Throw it to me. You know, actually, Michael and I were talking about this before the program. Have we segued, you know, what kind of information we've covered to bring us to here? And, of course, I love this topic. I love talking about ancient history and ancient aliens, because to me, it all kind of partners. And specifically, Michael was talking about, you know, these extinction events that we've had. And I'm saying, I think that there's indication that in each one of these things, there's some kind of inference, and in some cases, evidence, that there were beings that visited the planet or were on the planet, maybe even originated on this planet, you know, during each one of those times. And of course, this is how our conversation was evolving. Mm-hmm. And it seems to me we are finding out more all the time what we think we know.
Well, you know, here's something we talked about. I think it was last week, or might have even been when we had Dr. Mike as a guest, when there was that classic example of a golden chain found in a lump of coal, you know. Mm. Was it from an ancient human civilization or from an ancient civilization of sentient beings that existed on this world, originated on this world? You know, I think you had mentioned just a moment ago, I had paid a brief amount of attention to chat for a second there, and I didn't catch you were talking about the extinction events that we at least know about?
Yeah. Exactly.
Perfect, because that's exactly what I was thinking about too. We have these series of different, you know, major extinction events that have occurred on Earth, and they're set up in such a way to where, you know, we have five that we know about, five mass extinction events. We have the first, and I'm just going to skip the pronunciation of these, especially the Ordovician Silurian extinction, 440 million years ago. The Devonian extinction, 365 million years ago. The Permian-Triassic extinction, 250 million years ago, which I read was the worst, with 70% of land animals and 90% of sea animals dying off. The Triassic-Jurassic extinction, 210 million years ago. And the Cretaceous-Tertiary extinction, 65 million years ago, what we kind of think of as the dinosaur one. And, you know, all of these different events, you know, there's so much unknown. And I think one thing that we often kind of get lulled into thinking is that with these mass extinction events, almost all life gets wiped out. And that's not, I mean, I guess by percentage, yes, but there's still, you know, in the worst one, most marine life did die, but, you know, land life, 30% survived, you know, 30% in the worst extinction event we'd had.
Well, and I'm thinking now, it really fascinates me how much more is being exposed with droughts,
mm-hmm.
you know, and certain water now, you know, kind of evaporating.
Yeah, that's a fun experience.
This big Buddhist monument carved in stone in China. And, of course, as we talked about before the program, too, the Stonehenge of Spain,
mm-hmm.
it's more revealed that scientists are looking at. But there's these things popping up all over the place, whether it's ships from the ocean, you know, what was recently, you know, World War II,
mm-hmm.
German ships, you know, being exposed. And so, again, as our land masses are changing, and I'm not meaning to freak anybody out, this doesn't happen in a day. It takes many years, you know, for these shifts to occur.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, time is speeding up a little more now, but we're discovering more. But I think when we talk about ancient aliens, I'm going to leap, Michael, here for a second. We think in terms in a couple of different ways. People do not think about the last five mass extinctions. People think about since the dinosaurs, or they think about since the pyramids,
mm-hmm.
or they think about, you know, since Roswell. You know, they don't think in terms of aliens perhaps using this planet, and I shouldn't say aliens, other life beings
right.
of the universe using this planet as some kind of homeworld, port, you know, stopover, you know, not unlike Star Trek.
Way station, you know? Starbase.
Sure. You know, any number of possibilities that if we believe that we're not alone in the universe, point blank, let's say you absolutely believe that, then any of these things are possible and nobody really knows.
Well,
we can then take a leap to say, you know, there's people who now claim that we are interacting with several dozen different species of aliens. The least of which is the Greys. Let's just say never mind about the Greys. You know, there's the Nordics, there's, you know, the Anunnaki. The list is long for all the different, let's not go to the lizard people.
Oh, come on, I've been walking down the street. You go into any Walmart, you'll find lizard people walking around. It's just a guarantee.
Yeah,
but.
Well, I know. And look, there may well be. Somebody told me a few decades ago that, and to think about this possibility that every life form on Earth is a reflection of something else in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, huh, what a concept. You know, every, whether it's an insect or a lizard or, you know, a bird, that it is some kind of alteration of a life force that lives somewhere else. And maybe that is in other dimensions because there's other theories there. My indigenous elder friends tell me that for every creature that goes extinct that we know of in the physical world, another one appears from the other world.
Yeah.
To keep the balance on the earth. And so, I mean, all things are possible. But again, how are we, what is our perspective? So when you're talking ancient aliens, if it's a given they've always been here, that's one discussion. If you think, oh, they just discovered Earth in 1947, Well, that's a whole other discussion.
Well, let's talk a little bit about probability and statistics, right?
Mm.
So
yeah.
We know in a reasonable sense, we know that the universe is at least 13.5 billion years old. That's a long time. And what are the odds that just recently, you know, alien life has shown up? You know, it's very minuscule. I mean, if alien life has shown up, it's done so probably in the preceding history. I mean, some type of self-aware, sentient alien life, be it from a different part of our reality, be it an interdimensional life, you know, has visited Earth in its, you know, 4.5 billion year history. Obviously, you know, life's been here for over 3 billion years in some form. You know, where there's water, where there's, you know, beginning to form an atmosphere, there's going to be certain life that'll probably be drawn to that and use it as a way station and things like that. So when we talk about ancient aliens, you know, ancient to humans is but a fraction of
exactly. The
existence of the Earth. And just like you said, Dr. Vicky, when you talked about life that might have originated on Earth, that left, go to the stars, might even be coming back now, you know, after a few million years. It's the possibilities are endless, and yes, none of this is verifiable. This is all kind of a thought experiment, but we do see things that are intriguing that lead us to believe in certain things. And you had talked about the Spanish Stonehenge. You know, this is the first time we've gotten a good look at it since the 1960s, and you know, usually it's completely submerged in water.
Yeah.
And now, you know, so now archaeologists and anthropologists are scrambling to go look at this Spanish Stonehenge. And these circular rings of stone, you know, have popped up throughout the kind of Celtic world, but it's believed to be something that predates the Celtic world, which is, you know, I think we got into the Celts a little bit last week when we were talking about the ancients, the people that, you know, kind of were the forerunners to, you know, some of the Nordic peoples and, you know, cousins to the Germanic peoples and things like that. It was this kind of culture. But these places are found in a lot of different areas throughout Europe and, you know, in different forms in many parts of the world, you have these sites that perfectly line up to the stars. And while, yes, I do believe that ancient astronomy is a entirely plausible explanation, that the ancients were fascinated with the stars and were able to use just sheer raw manpower to do certain things, it's when you have a lot of slaves, you can do a lot of things. That's an unfortunate reality. But I'm also open to the idea that this has something, a deeper meaning, because it's, you know, we can't possibly know for certain, and there's so much other, be it circumstantial or be it, you know, innuendo or be it something that is unverifiable truly, you know, in terms of how did a chain, gold chain, get in a piece of coal? I have no idea. Who can know? We don't have enough evidence to even begin to think about it. But when it comes to alien life in these sites, it's entirely plausible that they were used, you know, in terms of, you know, landing areas. Why not? The pyramids lining up with the Orion's Belt 10,000 years ago. You know, again, the ancients were loved astronomy. They loved the sky. It's what they used to tell seasons, to navigate, to do many things. And they were excellent at it. And sure, were they excellent because they had a little bit of extra help? I mean, again, it's intriguing. It is compelling. And one thing Dr. Vicky and I were talking about before the, you know, the start of the live broadcast, and this is one thing, we do have some of our best discussions before we're actually on air. We were talking about the book of Genesis and the, you know, Abrahamic tradition Bible in the three. And what it sounds like is essentially a metaphor, a parable for primitive human beings being approached by some, you know, what they would consider to be a god that brings, you know, some sentience in a more meaningful way. This, you know, it talks about God walking around in the garden. And just think, how would the story of ancient, you know, alien visitors kind of transcend through time, through legend, through first oral tradition, because everything that's written in the Abrahamic traditions came from traditions that came before it. You know, nothing just came out of nowhere. We've had roughly 6,000 years of written human history in certain parts of the world, and we've had tens of thousands of years of known human history on this planet with what little evidence we have, possibly longer. So, you know, obviously there were many mythologies, many different ideologies and different beliefs. And we haven't even gotten into the Egyptians and how their different god pantheons correspond to some ideas of powerful beings with technology that might have seemed like, you know, the power of the gods. There, we talked a little bit about their structures, but let's look at the belief system that was built up around them. And then we also, we have the Hindu Vedas, and we have the ancient stories of different, another pantheon of sorts of, you know, these beings with immense power. They have the classic allusions to these ships, of, you know, in the sky, so to speak, you know, and they're taking a little poetic license. But these are just such compelling ideas and compelling narratives, and it opens our mind to what the truth could be. That, yeah, like Dr. Vicky, like you said, I don't think this started in 1947.
Well, Dr. Mike has graciously put, look, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on in the chat room I'm trying to keep up. It's really awesome, you guys. But Dr. Mike has said he just thought he'd share some of what he thinks is the most compelling ancient artifacts he's come across. The Tikal astronaut Mayan from 200 to 900 AD, I have seen pictures of that. So cool.
Fascinating.
Sarcophagus lid of Lord Pacay, the ancient ruins of the Mayan city in Palenque, are located in southern Mexico and were established around 1800 BC. The Saqqara bird, which was excavated in 1898 from the tomb of Pati Imon in Saqqara, Egypt. The Dendera light, Egyptian goddess Hathor and at Dendera. The golden flyer, Kimbay artifacts of South America from 300 to 1550 CE. Discovery in Ancient Aliens, he said, is a very good look at their top 10 ancient artifacts in section 17E7. So, I mean, episode 7. Oh, no, so that would be season 17, episode 7. Oops, my bad. So, thank you very much for that. And anybody who is in the live chat, you might want to take note of those things. Yeah. A few of those I have seen photos of. It's crazy interesting references to, we go, oh, here's the thing is we can see them. You can have certain people interpreting them. Other people can come up with another twist of interpretation. And then we can talk to people, moi included, who has had experiences with, let's say, UFOs or what we believe to be alien entities. But who believes you and who cares? Mm-hmm. You know, honestly, for all the people who have disclosed experiences, whether it's about ships or, you know, abductions, it's just still in the minority, although it is a growing community and word is, you know, for the grace of the internet, and things like Facebook groups and so on, it's spreading, YouTube spreading, mm-hmm. and people are entertaining that, but then it's still that who's got credibility, who believes what and how. So until I think that there's this mass event where there is some kind of exposure, I don't know if people are necessarily going to believe, and even then, what's the theory going to be? Because we're all very subjective.
Oh, very true.
What we can all agree on here is that there is enough compelling evidence to question, to entertain the ideas that Christianity has kind of done its time. Religions have done their time in that way, in my view.
Well,
because it's very,
we're moving beyond them.
Exactly. And, you know, for historically, yeah, we go through these cycles of life. You know, what's the cool thing to believe this year and who has the power of that? Remember, history is written by the conqueror and history is interpretive based on whoever does the most talking. That's, you know, this scientific community versus that one versus this one. This university outdoes that university and everybody wants to be special. So we have to be grounded. We have to be as objective as we possibly can to know that not all information is accurate because we keep peeling layers, layers and layers. But I don't know, are the Greys robots or are they sentient beings? You know, that's a question.
I didn't even hear the theory that they'd ever been robots. Interesting.
Yeah, they're clones.
Oh, aren't we all? But
you know, And, you know, again, we hear these things. I think that I'm of the mind that we're in a shared space. And all we have to do, and we forget to, is look at the paths that we have walked to know where we are. And so much is staring us right in the face that there's more than we know.
Oh, very true. You know, one thing that I've always, I guess, believed in, if I can believe in anything, is that the truth is beyond my ability to understand. And at least in this phase, in this existence, in this body, in this life, I do not have the perspective of infinite years of knowledge of the cosmos, of how, you know, the other dimensions of reality work. And therefore, because of those limitations, at least at this point, I cannot know the full extent of it. Even if something is presented to me as, you know, a vision, why not? I have no frame of reference. I have an understanding of how fallible human perception is. Therefore, I must ask, is this real? Am I going insane? Is it an alien beaming an image into my head? Am I in a holodeck and didn't know it? Is this Star Trek? And has it been all along? Kind of keeping my fingers crossed for that one. But, you know, it's just, you know, I know one thing. I think, therefore, I am. Right? Everything else is up for grabs. Even there's a saying that physicists like to have. They say the only laws are the laws of physics. Everything else is up for negotiation. I submit to you that even the laws of physics are up for negotiation.
Yeah.
And, you know, that just opens the door to so much. But
I mean, we still don't even know what gravity is. So there you go.
Interesting. I mean, we know, you know, it's like Albert Einstein saying a little bit of knowledge is a dangerous thing. You know, we human beings, it seems like we know enough to be dangerous. We know a lot of the different aspects of gravity, kind of how to use it. We can slingshot things around planets, but the way that gravity affects space-time, the way that all of these things interrelate, we have no idea. It's we have so much ground to cover. Going into quantum physics is going to take hundreds of years. I mean, what are we going to be like in 1,000 years? And remember, the, you know, remember, when it comes to time, when we think about 1,000 years to a human, that sounds like a really long time. But in the cosmic sense, that's nothing. If we go from where we are today to something where we could understand something on the quantum level, where we can understand as human beings, we get to this point where we can see some of the underlying layers of reality, that would be in the blink of an eye. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there.
No, I just got to say there's a little bit of humor going on in the chat room. I have to, Michael. Dr. Mike says, are the Grays Republican or Democrats? And Caleb says, Republican. Confederate uniforms are gray. And, you know, I mean, you see, I love that. You got to have the humor. What I'd like to also bring up before our time runs out is the theory of us all being hybrids from the ancient alien theories. And me being in the O negative blood type family, and I know it's come up before in previous conversations.
Well, I know you think you're better than everybody. Go on.
Just hang on. I got to tell you. The theory that flies around, you know, a lot of circles is that it's the Anunnaki hybrid blood type. And because the O negative is a universal blood type, we can give to anybody, but we can't take from anyone else except another O negative, which is really fascinating. We have a very difficult time carrying a fetus to gestation without problems, unless it's from an O negative or something that's compatible, hopefully in the O family, O positive even. And so Dr. Ione is saying she's reading a book about that we're actually descendants of the Anunnaki. Well, this theory has changed, but so does Google, right?
Things will change as human knowledge expands.
The O negative blood type was largely located in Spain and in the northern mountains in this certain region of a people that speak a completely different language historically than anyone else in Europe. So not even Spanish, which is an interesting thing to look at.
You're talking about Castilians?
Yes, thank you very much, Michael.
Them and their pronunciations.
Yeah. So it's interesting to me because I think we're all hybrids of some kind. And one day it hit me, and I said it in humor a long time ago. And it's that, you know, God came to the planet, like you say, God was a walking being, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
And his son, Caleb said the Basques. Thank you very much, Caleb. I appreciate that. My memory, like I
said. Yeah.
I call them brain farts. That's what happens.
They've had a recent independence movement, too.
But that, you know, he was an alien, and, you know, his son decided to stay and hang out, and then, you know, however hundred, a few hundred years later, you know, Muhammad decided to land and said, you know, what is this? You know, somebody else has been here before me. I want to stay too. Hey, Dad. So, you know, I mean, that's my thought is that in these biblical or other religious, it doesn't matter what religion, there is an inference of other species. If we can shift our paradigm, you know,
mm-hmm.
And just kind of see it from another angle. Caleb's also said the Basque language is not related to any language known. Thank you for sharing that. And it was between Spain and France.
Yeah.
And,
old Gallic territory.
So, I mean, again, blood type information is evolving. One of the rarest types, I guess, is AB negative in percentage-wise, but the O negative is only 5-6% of the population. But again, understanding that it's minus, there's something in the O negative blood that does not relate to anything else that can't be equated with something else on Earth. All other blood types have proteins that you can find in other life forms, except and not just the fact that it's, you know, the Rh factor is not there. It's, anyway, it's a whole thing that's very cool to understand. And I find, and I said this before, Michael, I always find it interesting that I know so many people with O negative blood, or even O positive, but the O negative, it's, yikes, I'm thinking.
Well,
my lay teacher Frank said that there would come a time when those of us who've known each other before, or say came together in clusters, that we would one day get to know each other again. We'd start connecting again as these shifts, you know, take place in our consciousness or the consciousness of the planet. And I can go along with that. It makes sense to me. So.
No. It's a very interesting, you know, and it's just, you just wish that you could live 1,000 years to see how things turn out. I wish I could, you know, bounce around in time, the entire
probably
nature of the universe.
Do,
yeah, I hope so. Your anyway. Lips to the hypothetical God's ear that probably doesn't exist. But anyway.
Yeah, I love this conversation, and I like it. And as metaphysicians, everybody, I like it that we do keep an open mind to all possibilities.
Absolutely.
I always say, you know, certain things I believe in, it's my belief of the day or my belief of choice today, because that's mm-hmm. what I go by in what I have. But you give me more information, I could change my mind.
Exactly.
And I'm okay to change my mind.
We always have to be open to changing our mind when new evidence becomes available. I can't really speak. And, you know, that's why after watching a video on YouTube, I now am convinced that the Earth is indeed flat. I mean, the evidence is out there. Obviously, it's a circular disk, and that's why we kind of have this globe idea. There's an ice wall around the perimeter. You know, come on now. But, so, anyway.
Well, before we pull cards, Caleb also says, what if the Anunnaki are really future humans who travel to their own past to ensure their race is supreme? I don't know about supreme, but maybe survives. That might be a thought. Yeah, I've heard that before, that you know, we're actually them from in the future, and there's so many wonderful concepts.
Absolutely.
I love that.
I don't want to get too far away from that previous comment before I throw in a JK, you know, just kidding on the whole flat earth thing. I mean, yes, everything is possible, but I have no reason to believe that a flat earth is ever going to be a thing that, you know, just no reason for it. Throwing it in there because this is all on recording and, you know, don't want to turn up like 10 years from now. I'm like, look what you said on recording. I'm like, oh man, they got me now. But yes,
okay,
it is
everybody,
that time
so
of the night.
It is.
We're
so
tripping
for
over
those
each other.
Who are new, such as Anna and you know, Caleb here, thanks for joining us, new. This is the time of the program that Michael draws a card from the Inner Oracle Self-Discovery cards, you know, developed by Dr. Kelly, and I pull a supporting tarot card to see what kind of a story there is or a little message. So
yeah,
we're getting ready. I think we have Dr. Ione first, Michael.
I believe you're right. And so from the Inner Oracle deck, Dr. Ione, I have number 23, Meaning and Purpose. Let's see. The meaning of life is built upon values and beliefs and remains constant. The purpose of life is the action plan for the meaning of life. The purpose can change. A sense of purpose always evolves. The question is not, what is the purpose of life? Rather, it is, what is the purpose of my life? True fulfillment comes when embracing your heart's desire with both meaning and a renewed sense of purpose to fulfill that meaning. This card can also relate to the meaning or purpose of a specific situation or lack thereof.
Wow, and the magician in support of that, Ione. So, meaning and purpose can change at any time. The magician is alchemy, right? You can transform anything, so all things are possible. So, you can change your life if you choose, changing the way you think, what you believe, and this would tell me that you're in a shift of some kind. And if you feel a little hesitant or nervous, this is kind of an affirmation to you that roll with it. I want to say just roll with that change, and you will have a kind of a renewed sense of purpose. That's very exciting.
It is very exciting. All right, and we have Anna next. And Anna, glad to have you tonight. I have number 26, Energy Signature. This card is a call to be aware of energy signatures, which is the vibe a person puts out or the energy of a situation. Energy signatures are changed by increased awareness resulting from gaining more knowledge and wisdom of self. Review the present energy signature that you may be sending or that of a situation, individual, or relationship. Keep what is healthy, remove what is unhealthy. Remember, you cannot change others. You can only change yourself and your own energy signature.
The dogs have something to say about that.
It was resonating with Mira, obviously.
Obviously. Well, with energy signatures, I pulled out of the tarot deck the Death card. Now, don't freak out about that, because with all, it just means endings and beginnings. So I would say to you, Anna, you've also been in a shift. Maybe you've been having some kind of aha moments. Or, oh, I never saw it that way before. And it's this rebirthing. So your energy signature is changing. So if there's been cycles that you have been repeating, this cycle is shifting to a positive one. That's very cool. So I'm glad about that.
All right. I just realized I was on mute because I had to hush the dogs. But... All right, so we have Dr. Mike next, and I got to say, Dr. Mike had thrown this in chat when talking about, he said, I have an open mind as long as I'm right.
Dr. Zach says he could get behind that.
I know, a sentence after my own heart, you know. I used to have a joke phrase that I would tell my dad when I was younger. I would tell him, I'm never wrong, I'm just less right. But kind of go along with that.
He also told you that you should go out and get a life while you still knew everything.
I know. Oh, back when I was 17, 18, oh, I knew everything. You better believe it. But, all right. Dr. Mike, my favorite card, I have a feeling this might be a recent pick for you, but I could be way off base here. It's wild card number one, Paradox. A truth can be found in seemingly contradictory ideas. What may seem like a false proposition can be a set of new ideas and ways of thinking. Your solution may lay in the opposite direction than you think. Keep in mind that the cosmos works in equals and opposites. Not all truths lay in common opinions. This may be a time for contrarian thinking and opening your mind to what may not make sense at first. Thus, new perspectives are discovered.
Wow. Mike, the Two of Clubs in support of Paradox. I love Paradox. It's also confusing, isn't it? I know, I love Paradox for that reason. But when you have the Two of Clubs in support of that, it's looking to the future and what you see in the future, what you see for yourself, and you could be changing your mind about some things where you wouldn't have thought that would work for you. It maybe does work for you now. And I think that you're taking some steps. And I want to add this in here. Even if it's unconscious, that it's taking steps in a kind of a new direction. Boy, Wendy says that Dr. Mike had Paradox on the 20th of July.
That's right.
And the 20th of April. Wow.
Yeah, no wonder it felt familiar. What are the odds of that one?
I know. So your life is kind of, you're on your own frequency, I want to say, and it's taking you into a place you kind of wouldn't have anticipated for yourself. So I think there's some pretty cool things coming up for you. And again, Paradox is you wouldn't have thought that, or you wouldn't have seen it that way, is how I'm interpreting it.
Very interesting. Very interesting.
So he puts up funny emojis in the chat. All right. Dr. Edward is next, Michael.
Dr. Edward, I have number 22, Think for Yourself. Better understanding one's own mind brings one closer to honesty and self-responsibility. Thinking for yourself prevents being swayed by the potentially unhealthy thinking of others, as well as outside popular beliefs, simply for popularity's sake. If you don't think for yourself, you're sacrificing your identity for someone else's identity. This may be a time to exercise critical thinking in order to best determine and listen to your own truth.
You know, Edward, you got something going on here, the Ten of Clubs, which can, you know, it's, yeah, you're getting to your destination, but you might feel some pressure, carrying somebody else's burden. So what I'm interpreting this as, somebody's asking something of you that you don't want to do, or that doesn't sit right with you, or that could put extra burdens on you. So, and it's not that you don't think for yourself, it's just, you know, how do you weigh this out with boundaries and without putting extra pressure? Like, where is the sensibility in it? And sometimes it's okay to say not today. And so it's not necessarily a no. It's not today and not in that way. Boy, I sure hope that makes some kind of sense to you, Edward. But it just, I think somebody's putting some kind of, you know, something on you, and you're having to think about it.
Interesting.
Yeah. Ronaldo.
Right. And Ronaldo, I have number 6, boundaries. Let's see. Try to keep it random so I don't do it in advance, but here we are, number 6, boundaries. It's important for you to establish clear boundaries for yourself. Equally, it is necessary to be aware of others and to not overstep or encroach on their boundaries. This is a mark of a self-complete individual. Reassess and assertively protect your healthy boundaries while looking to see if you are overstepping elsewhere. Begin with asking yourself, who owns me?
Well, I got judgment in support of that. Ronaldo, you know, the first thing that comes to mind is, you know, you're really happy for somebody when they make a change in their life. That's good. And somebody gets really excited and you're thinking, oh, well, that's great. But how does that affect me? You know, that kind of a thing. And so I don't know which way it is. Like, somebody may be making an announcement to you of what they're doing. You're saying, oh, how does that, I'm glad for you, but I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do with that. And sometimes that's a really fair question, right? But it could also be the other way. You want to make a statement. You want to make some changes, but what are the boundaries in keeping relationships okay with others? So I think my best sense about this is sometimes it's good to push the pause button and just to say, you know what, I'm not going to make this decision today. And that's fair enough. So when you have had time to work through it a little bit and, you know, sleep on it, as they say, then we make better decisions. So, I don't know. That's a message. I hope there's some situation that you can relate to in some way this week.
Good message. Good message. And we have Dr. Jeff next, I believe.
Yeah.
And Dr. Jeff, I have number 11, awareness. Every human being has a responsibility to increase their awareness for fulfillment and peaceful coexistence. People generally do the best they can according to their current level of awareness, knowledge, experience, and resources. This card may indicate that an increased awareness in some area is needed. Continue to increase your awareness of self and others through observation, acquired knowledge, and a positive attitude. It's a good card. I don't think we pull often enough.
I know. Seven of diamonds for that one, Jeff. Sometimes we have to remind ourselves how far we've come and how much we've really done. Like, in other words, what we have achieved, and have an awareness of that. And I think this is one of those moments for you, Jeff. And I want to say, maybe you're being a little bit hard on yourself. It's just, give yourself a little credit about where you are. And, you know, in your life, because I happen to know a little bit about you, and we do, is, you know, you were dealt a certain hand of cards in this lifetime. And you have done amazing things with your life. Amazing, I might add. Where you go from here, I feel like this energy shift, you're just kind of generating your battery, your internal battery, about and looking at that new sense of purpose for your life. So I think that's a really good message for you today.
All right, I love it. All right, we have, I believe, our card keeper, Wendy, next.
Yeah.
And thank you for everything that you do. It always brings a nice layer of just intrigue to the to the cards here. We have number 7, self-mastery, for you, Wendy. Let's see. To know who you are and why you are who you are is self-actualization. To choose and walk your own path is self-determination, giving inner peace. Not allowing others to dictate your behavior is self-control. Remain true to your convictions. This is self-mastery towards the path of self-completeness.
So, Wendy, I pulled the 5 of diamonds, and I'm saying, okay, what does that mean? I pull another one. It's a 5 of spades. So, self-mastery. The number 5, any way you look at it, is right in the center of, you know, 1 to 9, the only true singular numbers. And so 5 likes change. 5 likes to shake things up. But 5 can also feel trapped. So this sense of 5 with the club or the diamonds matters of who has what, kind of think of, you know, physical things. And then the 5 of spades, which indicates some kind of stress or you know, something contrary. So that self-mastery, like, no matter what kind of stress is going on around you, it's, you're able to rise above that. And you're able to look at it from a completely different perspective, at least at this time. There might be a couple of challenges coming up, and I want to say even in this week, but remember, you're the boss of you. You know who you are. And you can move over, but you don't necessarily have to compromise. And Dr. Kelly's preference versus principle comes to mind, and that might be something that you'll have to apply this week. Self-mastery.
Very interesting. And oh, Wendy had pointed out that she had that card on July 20th and June 22nd. Kind of got this month thing going here. Although we did pull that paradox for Dr. Mike back-to-back week, from this week to last. But, very interesting on the rhythm.
It is.
All right, and I believe we have Audra next. Audra, always glad to see you. And number 14, energy shift and new chapter. Energy shifts are a natural result from increased awareness, knowledge, and new attitudes that naturally open new chapters in one's life. It's an excellent time to clarify your vision during this time of shifting energy. Reflect, gather your energy, breathe, and step forward with a renewed sense of direction. Out with the old and in with the new.
So it might help everybody to know that Michael does a shuffle of the cards after every time he pulls one for someone. And I don't. I have my cards fanned out. and I just go with it, not repeating. So we just do it differently. It's not right or wrong. It's just the way it is.
I just need something to do while I'm talking, so I just shuffle cards, you know, absentmindedly.
So it came up for Anna earlier, that energy shift for you, Audra, and in support of that, I have Temperance. You're in an energy shift, but you may not feel it in action today. So it's push the pause button, just go with the flow. That's what I want to say. I don't feel it's going to take too much longer for you to know better where you stand with your life. Okay, so I'm just going to go with that. It just rolls out of my mouth. So you're in an energy shift. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not happening. So where, you know, act where you need to and carry on. So Temperance, that's just patience. It also symbolizes internal water, you know, going to flow. So I think that's exciting. So, I mean, unless there's somebody else in here that I missed, I think that's...
No, we actually have Kaylin, and I hope I'm not mispronouncing your name. Comes to mind, I have a very dear friend, somebody who's very close to me, that I have been mispronouncing her name for a little bit. Subtly, but it's, being a native English speaker, it can't quite make the sounds right. But, Kaylin, we got, of course, time to pull a card for you. Happy to have you on your first time joining us tonight. And for you, I have number 3, be who you are and walk your own path. You are a uniquely designed, one-of-a-kind, universal being, equally entitled to all good things the same as others. Drawing this card encourages you to be who you are and to walk your own path, not comparing yourself with others. Give yourself permission to accept who and what you are. Move forward in the direction you need to take that best fulfills yourself.
Well, if I have this done, if I have it in my head properly, it's Khaled. And thanks for, kind of showing that in the chat room, Khaled.
Much appreciated.
Appreciate that. Well, in the be who you are, which, have the sense that you're a pretty self-determined individual, I got in support of that as the strength card. Now, when this message, these kinds of messages come up together, even for people who are pretty cool and know who they are and they're going through life, I think we all need a little reassurance once in a while of just be you. And I get the sense right now that you might be regenerating your own energy, rejuvenating your energy, kind of like I mentioned earlier about the battery kind of reference. And if you need to take time out in life, that's being who you are too, and that's not a bad thing. So if you are feeling like you just need to focus on this and never mind about other things, all things are temporary and you go with the flow. So be who you are, walk your own path, and you're gaining that strength, a different kind of spiritual strength, I think, Khaled. So that's kind of a cool message, I think.
It is. Yeah. I love it. And I'm just going to throw it out so I can say it correctly also. Khaled, happy to have you with us tonight. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, that was our last card for the evening. Unless, of course, it's been a great chat tonight, great discussion, so it makes it kind of hard to keep up. But Dr. Mike is asking about the topic for next week. And Dr. Vicky, I thought you said that you had a brilliant idea that you were And you were telling me about having this amazing idea that was going to change everybody's life. What was that again?
I know I'm brilliant, but I forgot.
All right, so when we remember that amazing topic that's going to change everybody's life next week, we're going to email that out and put it in the chat.
Wendy is saying it was a fast night tonight. It sure was.
It was. We didn't even get into any of the Hindu Vedas or the ancient stories from that angle. We didn't get into a lot of the ancient sites. We talked a little bit about the, quote-unquote Spanish Stonehenge and things like that, but there's so much more that we could have gotten into, too.
I know. There is. And I want to say to everybody how much I appreciate all of you. Again, I know we say it frequently, but it has to be said once in a while that I like Wednesday nights. I like coming here. I like hanging with Michael. I love all these folks in the chat and being able to have these great discussions and interact with all of you. So I just want to say thanks.
See, now I'm just going to be like a tag along because obviously I'm going to say like ditto. I mean, but no, honestly, I was just thinking I appreciate each and every one of you. I appreciate the contributions that you make. I appreciate the ideas. I appreciate you listening to me go off on a tangent or sometimes when I intermix and interrupt Dr. Vicky here. I appreciate this ability to come to talk with you, Dr. Vicky, to exchange ideas. And it's just, you know, been a highlight for me as well. So thank you all. And, you know, it is going to be interesting trying to think up what we can do to top some of the last few topics we've had. But, you know, we're going to think of something that's going to be utterly brilliant, I have no doubt. So tune in next week. We're looking forward to seeing you. Dr. Vicky, any last thoughts before we sign off?
You know, hang in there, everybody. It's a crazy world in the best of days these days. And,
good advice.
And, you know, just stay true to you. Just take a breath. I'm going to say, honestly, I've had this couple of moments in this past week myself where I say, it is so easy to get short-tempered with some people. And then I just have to check in with myself, you know? Just check in with yourself. It's kind of crazy, but I know I have to live with me. Each of us has to live with ourselves in good conscience. So take a breath, everybody. Just do you.
You have no idea. I have to live with me, and that's a rough one, tell you what. But absolutely good advice. Hang in there. Stay safe. And, you know, join us next week. Until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone. Have a good week.